been taking a journey over the last 12 weeks. At least, you guys have been helping me learn a little bit more about my alcoholism. Every time I revisit the steps and go through the books and go back to where I came from and how I got to where I am today, I get to learn a little bit more about who the person inside was and how what he's becoming. And that to me is a gift that you people allow me to share with you. The 12th step is that having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The original 12th step read, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Al-Anon still uses our original 12th step. We've been discussing it. There were certain groups in the early days of the beginning class, the beginner's classes, and I've been telling everybody where the solution has been directly out of a book called Back to Basics. It's the name of the book. And it says that the step is described, 12 steps is described on pages 89 through page 103, and it's also described on page 569 and 570. The directions for taking step 12 are on page 89, the paragraphs, lines 1 through 7, paragraph 1, and the suggestions for conducting 12-step calls are found throughout pages 89 through 103. So there are clear-cut directions in the chapter 7, which is called Working with Others. I'm going to read the solution that they described in that. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works where other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry the message to other alcoholics. You can help where no one else can. You can secure their confidence where others fail. Remember, they are very ill. That's pretty simple, ain't it? I believe this step was broken down into three categories. Having had a spiritual experience as the result of the steps, means how to do the steps. We try to carry the message, which is the steps, to others. And then to practice the principles. Now, we're going to go over the this week. I'm going to read a lot of stuff. The first two parts of it, which because I believe the principles, carrying the principles in all our affairs, is something that I think is something that will require time to discuss. How I take the program out of this room and start applying it outside. I can only give my experiences there and. Some times I've succeeded in some of them, and sometimes I really failed. But that's okay. The joy of living is the theme of the 12th step, and action is the key word. Here we turn outward toward our fellow alcoholics who are still in distress. Here we experience the kind of giving that asks no rewards. Here we begin to practice all 12 steps of the program in our daily life so that we and those about us may find emotional sobriety. When the 12th step is seen in its full implication, it's really talking about a kind of love that no price tag with no price tag on. You know, we talk about the spiritual experience, and it's the first part of it, having had a spiritual experience. Prior to this part of the big book, in the beginning, and there is a solution and more about alcoholism, it makes a suggestion with a little arrow stick on the page, to go to page 569. And I love 569. It's one of my favorite parts, and I don't think we read it enough. So bear with me for a minute. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening is used many times in the book, which upon careful reading shows the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that the personality changes or religious experience must be the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happy for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous, which means false. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it is not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed by at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James called the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often our friends of newcomers are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realized that he has undergone a profound alteration in his relation to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of them think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or of belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which will bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance, and that principle is contempt prior to investigation. I always get twisted a little bit when we talk about, step one is honesty, and step two is willingness, and step three, and they put those one-word meanings on it, and last night again I heard it, and I'm so glad that I heard a whole time, an old-timer here, that the principle is the step itself. We get a lot of benefits from it. Yes, you get honesty if you admit your power's over alcohol and your life is unmanageable. Once you get, believe it, in your innermost self, you start learning about honesty, self-honesty. But it says that they're essential. It doesn't say they're the principles of the step. Going a little further on, and the reason I read that spiritual experience, we talked about the educational type. And the 12 and 12 discusses, because when I said to my sponsor, when Bob was alive, and I said to him, well, how do I tell anybody about the 12 steps? How do you describe somebody what's going on? He said to me, if you want to know what the 12 steps are about, in the 12 step, in the 12 and 12, it describes what we give up in each step, that surrender to the step. And what it says, when a man and woman has a spiritual awakening, the most important meaning of it is that he has now become able to do, feel, and believe that which he could not do before on his unaided strength and resources alone. He has been granted a gift which amounts to a new state of consciousness and being. He has been set on a path which tells him he's really going somewhere, that life is not a dead end, not something to be endured or mastered. In a very real sense, he has been transformed because he has laid hold of a source of strength which in one way or another he had hitherto denied himself. He finds himself in a position of a degree of honesty, tolerance, unselfishness, peace of mind, and love of which he had thought himself quite incapable. That describes me, I'm sure. What he has received is a free gift, and yet, usually, at least in some small part, he had made himself ready to receive it. Then it goes on to read, and I'm going to read this, in a matter of making a person ready, it tells us what we've done along our journey. We all do it at different paces and we all do it at different speeds, but the experience comes from doing all 12 steps. I believe I had different awarenesses or awakenings or experiences throughout my steps. Some were profound and some weren't. I wasn't sure of until I was three steps beyond. I went back on my fifth step and said, shit, I really did a third step. And it was one of those awakenings. I said, I didn't turn my will and my life over to care of God in my third step, as most of you have heard me share. I turned it over to the steps. And in my fifth step, when I look back in retrospect, I realized that I really did make the decision to trust in the process of the steps. And I realized I did a good, founded third step. And God started changing. Actually, God didn't start changing. My perception of God started changing. AA's manner of making ready to receive the gifts lies in the practice of the 12 steps in our program. So let's consider briefly what we have been trying to do up to this point. Step 1 showed us an amazing paradox. We found that we were totally unable to be rid of the alcohol obsession until we first admitted that we were powerless over it. Somewhere in More About Alcoholism, it says, until we admit to our innermost selves we were alcoholics, that's the first step of recovery. Then it says, step 2, we saw that since we could not restore ourselves to sanity, some higher power must most necessarily to do so if we could survive. We needed a higher power. For me, step 2 in the, you know, was a little different. I believed in lots of higher powers when I got here. But I came to believe in the second tradition is what brought me to my second step. I believe that God spoke through the group, because I heard people solving their problem by the reliance of AA, and that was my original first higher power, the group of drunks. In step 3, it says, we turned our will and our lives over to care of God as we understood Him for the time being. We who are atheists or agnostics discovered that our own group, or AA as a whole, would suffice as a higher power. And that's what I did. I trusted the group. Beginning with step 4, the one that everybody doesn't like, and I like to call it the pen light step, because if you don't pick up the pen, you'll never see the light. That's what I was told, and that's how I was given the fourth step. We commenced to search out the things in ourselves which had brought us physical, moral, and spiritual bankruptcy. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory, looking at step 5. That was real easy. We just wrote it. You know, we didn't figure out where we were going with it. We wrote what we were told to write, or what was suggested that we follow. In step 5, we decided that any inventory taken alone would not be enough. We knew we would have to quit the deadly business of living alone with our conflicts and honestly confide these to God, to another human being. And for me, step 5 was broken down a little differently. I go to God for forgiveness. I go to another human being for understanding. I go to another, to myself for understanding of what I did. And I go to another human being to practice humility. And that's how the fifth step was broken down for me. In sixth step, many of us fought for practical reason that we did not wish to have all our defects of character removed because we still loved some of them too much. Yet we knew we had to make a statement with the fundamental principle of step 6. So we decided that we still had some flaws of character that we could not relinquish. We ought nevertheless to quit our stubborn, rebellious hanging on to them. We said to ourselves, this I cannot do perhaps, but we had to stop crying, no, never. Then, and for me, it was, step 6 was broken down real simple. Stop doing what you know is wrong. Very simple. He says, you know what you're doing wrong, stop doing it. That's where you start practicing. In step 7, we continued our house cleaning. We saw that we were not only in conflict with ourselves, but also with people and situations in the world in which we live. We had to begin to make our peace, so we, step 7, we asked Him humbly to remove our shortcomings so that he could or would, under the conditions of every day, we asked. I believe the seventh step, my character defects, are given the same 24-hour reprieve that I get on my alcoholism. That's a belief I've come to, because there are certain days that my character defects are glaring, and God decides to let me show them to everybody, and He doesn't remove them every day. He lets me learn from them. The seventh step was start doing what I know is right. The seventh step is probably the one that I still battle with the most, 6 and 7. And I believe that most of us sit in 6 and 7 for a very long time throughout our sobriety. I don't ever think we overcome our character defects. I believe my character defects are right under my skin, and they can pop up. But just by somebody saying the wrong thing to me at a given moment. In step 8, it said we continued our house cleaning, for we saw that we were not only in conflict with ourselves, but also people and situations in the world which we live. We began to make our peace, so we listened to people we harmed and became willing to set them things right. In step eight, I was told I already had that list when I made my fourth step, and then I had to put down the financial and everything else, and then I had to become willing. In the sixth step, they taught me to pray for the willingness to become willing. To me, the eighth step was already broken down because I had everybody on my fourth step imaginable, and I didn't have the financial part of it. And then my sponsor said, well, sit down now and tell me how much your addiction cost you. And when I finished the tally, it came to something like $529,000. And I said, I couldn't have done that much. Amazing I did. And that was a low estimate. But that was over 33 years. I had a sponsor the other night. I was sitting with him, and he sat down, and he said, oh, I only drank for 3 or 4 years. When we came to a $50,000 figure for his alcoholism, he said, I didn't make that much money. Said, but you drank that much. You drugged that much. So, you know, I was told that those are the things that I repay in different ways today in that ninth step, the amends step. And in the ninth step, it says, by making direct amends to those concerned, except when to do so would injure them or other people. There was some other things I learned in the ninth step. An indirect amend, amend that I have to make doing a kind act without asking anything back. Those are things my sponsor gave me to do along the way. The amends, to me, is a very important process. It's probably one of the toughest processes that I think we go through, because now we have to tell somebody that W word, I was wrong, not I'm sorry. I always say that whenever I used to say I'm sorry, I used to feel this hand on the back of my head, and my sponsor used to say, you sure are, when are you going to admit you were wrong? That was a tough one for me to swallow. So I started admitting my wrong, not my I'm sorry, because I would tell everybody I was sorry, because I could get over the idea that way. The tenth step, we began to get a basis of daily living, and we keenly realized that we would need to continue taking personal inventory, and that when we were wrong, we had to admit it promptly. Promptly today is within a week. I'm a lot better than I was when I got here. I don't always do everything right on the spot. If I see it, and I know it, and they used to say it, name it, claim it, dump it. And I don't hear that anymore. And that's what I do today. If I make a mistake or I do a wrong, I need to fess up to it as fast as I possibly can. Sometimes I need to pray for the strength and courage to do that, because I don't want you people telling me that you don't like me. In step 11, we saw that a higher power has restored us to sanity and enabled us to live with some peace of mind and sorely in this sorely troubled world. Then such a higher power is worth knowing better. But as direct contact, but as direct contact is possible, the persistent use of meditation and prayer we found did open a channel so that we were, where there had been a trickle, there is now a river which led to sure power, safe guidance from God as we're increasingly better understanding Him. You know, my 11th step, and I can only speak for my own, I practice a lot of things in the morning. I practice morning guidance. I practice what they call guidance in the old days, a quiet time. They used to call it morning watch, where you sit down with a pen and paper. God still hasn't spoken to me directly. He really hasn't. But there's an inner peace that I know inside that He's working from the inside out, God of my understanding, or higher power. I do a lot of readings and other meditations in the morning. When I got here, you couldn't tell me I was going to be doing those things. Not the kind of person I was when I walked in these rooms. I had no desire to do the things that when I heard 11 steps stuff. I do believe God works through others, very much so. But I believe quiet time and meditation is very important. And there are so many different ways to meditate. And they all work. There's many ways to meditate as there are people sitting in this room right now. So it says, so practicing these steps, we had a spiritual awakening, about which finally there was no question. Looking at those who were only beginning and still doubted themselves, the rest of us were able to see the changes setting in. From the great numbers of such experience, we could predict the doubter who still claimed that he hadn't got the spiritual angle and who considered his well-loved AA group his higher power would presently love God and call him by name. I think one of the greatest gifts of being around for a little while is to watch someone move from darkness to light. The book talks about that. And that's an experience they say you don't want to miss. And I'm glad that I stuck around long enough to watch people come out of devastation and places, some worse than mine, some not as bad as mine. Get from that spot where they're lost and confused, and then watch the smile after a couple of days and months, and all of a sudden them doing things for others, and all the good things that happens from good 12, from the 12 steps. And then it talks about carrying this message to others, you know. I've done many 12 steps, and I can only give you my experience. And I'll tell you, the first few were disastrous for the other people, but they were real good for me. I was about 12 days sober, and the man who carried the message to me at the time, I think had about 28 years, and he said, "Come on, we're going to go talk to a drunk." I said, "I have nothing to tell him." He says, "Listen, he'll relate to you better than he can relate to me." So we went, and I sat and I talked to this guy, and I did whatever I was supposed to do, and the guy just kept drinking right in front of me, and I was getting crazy. And when I walked out of there, I said, "Man, I want a drink." He said, "You didn't drink during that time. You may want one, but you don't have to have one even if you want one." He said, "But it was a good 12-step call." I said, "But he's not coming to a meeting with us." He says, "That's not your job. That's God's job. Your job is to carry the message. You can't carry the mess. You can't talk to the alcohol." Those were the important things I learned. You know, I worked at Denny's, and I worked from six. From 11 at night to 6 in the morning, and it's amazing the number of people from the program that used to pass by. And we used to talk about program, and that's a form of 12-step work. One of the many forms of carrying the message. Being a greeter at a meeting, doing coffee, cleaning tables and ashtrays. Those are all forms of 12-step work. Standing outside talking to somebody before the meeting and after the meeting. Going for a cup of coffee, the fellowship, that's 12-step work. 12-step work takes many forms. It's not just sitting down with a sponsor and or going to a wet drunk or into a treatment center, hospitals, institutions. The list is, you can add to that list so many different ways. Picking up a phone and calling somebody and asking them how they're doing. Not coming to call and cry about how bad your life is. That was a form of 12-step work. I hate it when my sponsor said to me, "George, I want you to go to a meetings and I want you to find somebody that says something nice. I want you to take their phone number and don't call them for a week or two, and then call them and say you heard them speak 2 weeks before and ask them how they're doing." 12-step work. The book talks about the orbit of the alcoholic in two places. It talks about it on page 18 when it talks about an illness, and it talks about it on page 83 as the tornado running through the lives of others and the damage we do in the cups of our alcoholism. It doesn't talk about the good works we do when we get sober, and there's a reason for that. I believe there's a very good reason for that, because it's not our work, we're just the tool. And I don't know how many people's hearts are touched, and it's none of my business. I'm here to learn about my alcoholism and how I don't pick up a drink today. But I do know that if you stick around long enough, there's a transformation that happens inside, and we do help others. And in the big book on page 128, it says, "Giving rather than getting will become the guiding principle." And it also says, "We will learn to love thy neighbor as thyself." You know, we're talking about carrying that message. I believe that there is no one better who says it better than Dr. Bob himself in the back of the 12th step, in the back of the book, which is not part of the first 164 pages, which I was always told that's where the recovery is. And I'm going to read it, because to me it explains why I do 12-step work and what this program really is about. Dr. Bob is the one who said that trust God, clean house, and help others. That's the way he broke down the program. But he also said something else. There it is. "I spend a great deal of time passing on what I've learned to others who want and need it badly. I do it for four reasons: a sense of duty, it's a pleasure, because in doing so, I am paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me. Four, because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip." In a little earlier in the book, Bill Wilson talks about the fact that do not be discouraged if your prospect doesn't respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship, which was Bill Wilson, failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often said that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. I don't know how many 12-step calls I've went on that were successful, and I don't know how many weren't. I know they worked 100% of the time because I'm still here, and that's what I was told it's about. Did some people come into these rooms? Yes. Did they stay? It's none of my business. My job is to carry the message. That was my job, and it's a job I take on with love and affection. And that was only because it was passed to me with love and affection. There's a lot of things I can say about that's going on right now. It was trying to carry the message. There's a lot of things that are in the works. There's a lot of things that are new and a new adventure in recovery that I'm going through. But I do know one thing. If I pick up a drink, it all goes out the window. So for me, the best 12-step work I do on myself is not pick up the first drink. That's my amend to myself. And that's where I get grounded in this program, and then I come and I reach my hand out to another alcoholic, because it's vital to permanent recovery that one alcoholic works with another. And that's enough money on your first two parts of 12 steps.